everyone. We're here because you said so. That's all that matters. And so, God, whatever you need to say right now is all that matters. Open our hearts, our eyes, our ears. Cause us to hear your voice, even if it's nothing I've said. Cause us to hear your voice. We want to glorify you in everything we do. We bless you, we praise you, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today, I'm going to tell a little parable that it's about someone who was kind of disquieted, and they set out to find the truth. And they began with this heartfelt intention, and then they stumbled into darkness, and they ended up dying. But that wasn't the end, because this story actually ends with a beautiful love story. So I'm going to begin with a question. Anybody here ever driven somewhere and you get there and you wonder, you're like, I'm here? How did I get here? What happened to the last 20 minutes? I don't remember them at all. Oh my God, I was driving without paying attention. Or how about worse, you're driving somewhere and you think you followed the instructions, and when you arrive, your phone says, you have arrived. You're like, no, I have not. This is not the place I'm supposed to be. Maybe you input the wrong address, or we just like to blame, you know, Siri or Google Drive or whoever. It's their fault. But how about this? Maybe you've heard a word from the Lord. And in good faith, with prayer and intentionality, you give your all to bringing that word forward, only to find out that it didn't turn out as you imagined. Or even worse, maybe God let that word fall to the ground and die. And you're like, what is happening? We're all looking for direction. We're all trying to get somewhere with God. All of us want to please him. All of us want to do his will. And when we get a word, we get so excited. And we're like, yes, here I go. I'm going to do this for Jesus. I'm going to give it my all. And God bless you for doing that. Amen. He expected that. He knew we would do it. And somehow still it doesn't look the way it's supposed to look. And whenever someone comes to me and they're like, I don't get it. I'm like, do you ever open this book? Because the Old Testament is filled with people that thought they were doing the will of God, and it did not end up looking the way they expected it to look. Yeah. New Testament too. Yeah. So why would we think I will be the one for whom it will be exactly what I think? I'm that person. And I'm here to make a confession today. The parable is mine. It's all about me. You see, God is after my death. Because only when I die can I truly live. He's from a really funky, weird kingdom. That's like, if you want to be first, get in the back. You want to be great? Get on your knees and start serving people. That's just so contrary to what my soul wants to hear. And I assent to that. I assent to that kingdom. I say, yes, that is the kingdom I want to be part of. Until I'm on the ground when I thought I should be in the front. Yeah. Right? Or I'm in the back, you know. Oh, well, reading this Reese Howell's book, like I said, has been kicking my backside. And something, God used a couple of things. He used that book, and he used a post from my friend Bobby in the UK, reading about her going into this event that they had in the UK, and it was a day where they were expecting a ton of protest. And they were, you know, they were telling everybody, don't go, there's going to be violence, there's going to be this. And Bobby's out there standing on cars preaching the gospel in the middle of this. So she is. She's an evangelist, unapologetically. And she said, every person I met was a lovely soul. That when I asked them, do you want to see your nation changed? They said, yes. And she said, may I pray with you? And they said, yes. And these were people who were supposed to be violent against Christianity and all of these things. But because she came in love and courage, without fear, she said, I'm not going to listen to the fear reports. I'm going to be bathed in love. And I'm going to go in love. And whatever happens, happens. And I read her post, and I found myself weeping. I said, God, I know I'm not called to be Bobby, but boy, is my heart far from that kind of courage. How did that happen? Well, here's my story. If you've been around here for any period of time, you will have heard me preach that God is triune. Father, Son, and Spirit. And because we're his kids made in his image, we are also triune, right? We're made in his image. So we're triune. We're a spirit, a soul, and a body. I talk about that practically every time I'm up here. So your spirit, that's God's means of accessing you. Okay? That's the pipeline to heaven. We can hear him directly as his children through his word, through fellowship with him and with one another. Our soul is our personality. It's what makes Brian Brian, Steve Steve, Diana Diana, Kelly Kelly. It makes us, it's how God expresses himself on the earth. It's through our personalities, through our soul. That's how we get to see God. You meet my children and people are like, oh my God, he looks just like your husband. He sounds just like your husband. This one looks just like you, laughs just like your husband. This one acts just like you, doesn't look anything like you, right? So you see my children, you see me. When I see God's children, I see God through your personalities, okay? Your soul, beautiful. Your body, that's just the car. That's just the shoe that I put the foot in. It gets my soul from here to over there, and it allows me to perform the works of my faith towards God. Okay? Spirit, soul, body, just like my dad. So we are one. We're one in our triune selves. And he is one in his triune self. And in John 17, Jesus prayed that they will be one with us. As we are one, union. Excuse me. So here's the problem. Shortly after I gave my life to Jesus, like 3.3 decades ago, I began to hear a teaching that it venerated the spirit, it vilified the soul, and it eviscerated the body, the flesh. Get rid of it, get rid of it. And then I'm like, why is the spirit the only thing that matters? Did God give me a soul just so he could judge me? I was asking honestly, because that's what I was hearing. That my soul was, it's awful, and my flesh is the worst part of me. And guess what? It's true, but it's not the whole truth. But what happened was I was getting tripped. Because I'm like, why would God give me a soul just to judge me and punish me? That was the message I was hearing. So I wanted to see and understand a holistic gospel from a Christ-centered perspective, a balanced revelation of spirit, soul, and body. So I went looking, and the truth be told, my focus was primarily on our relationship with God through our soul. That was the problem. That was the problem. So here's the prognosis. Whenever we set out to prove something, we have formed an opinion. Someone other than myself is wrong. Okay? So now I'm looking to right a wrong. Okay? What happens is that I immediately drop my eyes off the answer. Because now it's become my job to right this wrong. And I now begin a journey of how I'm going to fix the body of Christ. Lucky you! Gosh, it's so gross. Okay, but anyway, because what happens is I step into a place of righteousness that's going to take me away from the only one who can make me righteous. And it becomes self-righteousness. So here's the process, right? We have the problem. The problem is on the outside of me. The problem is there is something wrong with this teaching. It is not the wholeness of God. It's not the whole picture of God. There's something wrong. It's outside of me. The problem's out here. So then the prognosis is, now I will be the avenger. And that's the problem, actually. So here's what happens is that starts me in a process. So in this journey of reintegrating, because that's what I thought. I felt we're splitting ourselves apart. We're becoming Gnostics, where it's only the Spirit. It's only the Spirit. It's only the Spirit. Only the Spirit has measure. Well, guess what? The Spirit gets filtered through this personality. The Spirit gets filtered through this soul. It's not a perfect art. It goes through me, my failings, my flaws, my prejudices, my judgments, my wounds. Filters the word of the Spirit, which is why I'm on you about being in the Word, because that's got to come back and pull me back in. And it's only repentance and humility that will actually open my ears to hear the Word apart from my avenging, because otherwise I'll use the Word to back up my avenging. So the only thing that's going to save me is humility. Because otherwise, I will find every scripture I need to prove that I'm on the right journey. Here I go. This is what I'm doing. And look, this is what that scripture says. And look at what the scripture says. And look, and I will begin to qualify my, whatever I want to call it. I can't think of it. Yeah, my position, you know, my whatever that's called when you have a thing. No, it's bigger than that. My agenda, it's bigger than my crusade. Yes, I will back up my crusade with the Word of God and be so self-righteous in it. Humility is the only thing that can bring me back. But if it's up to me to prove everybody wrong, then I think I'm right. And there's only one who is right. So, self. Yeah. The only thing that's going to bring a holistic picture, and when I say holistic, I mean spirit, soul, and body in alignment, yielded to the triune God, the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit. And the only thing that's going to bring me there is a yielded heart, not a strong one. But when I have a cause, I gain strength in a cause. When we have a cause together, we gain even more strength, right? The power of agreement. I've talked about this before. I'm going to bring it up again and again and again. Because as soon as the George Floyd situation happened, the Holy Spirit said to me, pay attention. This is all about agreement. I went, okay. He said, because everyone is going to be in agreement. And if you're not in agreement, then you won't matter. And that's when canceling happened. And he goes, but guess what? The Tower of Babel was built through agreement. You see, the kingdom moves through agreement. What was unfortunate to me in the midst of all that is there was a true wound. There's a true wound in our nation. But it got co-opted by politics and media. An opinion, and the wound ceased to get addressed. And the healing still didn't come. Why? Because we didn't humble ourselves. We rose up. And then this side rose up, and then this side rose up, and we knew we were right, whoever we are. We were right, which meant somebody else was wrong. And guess what God said? Y'all wrong. There is only one righteous. In 2 Chronicles 7, it says, if my people, last I checked, I think we think we're those people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, not their wicked ways, mine, then I'll hear. I really believe that what we went into was allowed to get as crazy as it did because the church rose up rather than got low. And we stepped in to be against. Now, I'm all for fighting injustice. I'm all for fighting injustice. But we can't win without humbling ourselves. Because otherwise, I'm right and you're wrong. And you know what that means to you? You're right and I'm wrong. And we've stopped listening because it's so important that I'm right and then I prove it and I've got my scripture to prove it. And I'm on this journey of proving my righteousness. And God goes, you don't have any. The wound is actually real. It happened. Things are wrong in this nation. 100%. But you do not heal them by going after them. You go up to me. Otherwise, you will build agreement. And agreement feels good. I like it. I like it. I love it. I'm right, right? Right. Oh, that feels good to that soul. That's part of the soul that needs healing. That's the part of the soul that needs healing. The one that wants to feel right. God's like, that means nothing to me. We have so many wounds that are still present, and they are long, generational wounds, and they need healing and forgiveness, because when I last checked, the only reason any of us are here is because of forgiveness. There is no true reconciliation without forgiveness, and someone has to be the first to go, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When the Holy Spirit came and he blew on them, the first thing Jesus said in the upper room, who you forgive is forgiven. Who sins you don't forgive are not forgiven. Eek! The measure you judge will be judged you. Whose sins am I holding on to? Because that means Jesus has to do that to me too. Not wants to. He has to, because his word is truth. And he never lies. So if I'm sitting in the seat of judgment, I am judging myself. And we've got to get out of there. Back to my parable. Okay? So I'm going to be the soul avenger for the church. And I'm going to bring union with spirit, soul, and body. Equal measure of appreciating that God gave us all of this in his design to move through us in this way. If we separate them out from one another, we're like disfiguring the creation of God. Sounds good. Sounds right. But guess what? My soul still needs sanctifying. My flesh still wants what it wants. See, that's true too. You cannot have part truth and be true. That's us. We have a part of the truth, but there's only one who is fully true. And the only way I ever know if I'm in line with him is to ask, is to humble myself and say, Father, what are you doing? What are you saying? Rather than looking for agreement on this level, because we can agree ourselves all the way to the pit. I watched it happen time and time again. So again, Union only comes through a yielded heart, not a strong one. When I am weak, then I am strong. Because that's when his strength is made perfect in me. Now when I got it all together, I'm going to pull up my bootstraps and here we go. And y'all, we love a good bootstrap moment. Let's go. And it's great and it's wonderful. God's made you marvelous in his eyes. And I love when he brings us together in agreement, we do things. I love that for the kingdom. But the qualifying factor is always going to be humility. And we can come into such agreement that we drop off humility because it feels right. That energy, that strength of agreement, and we run and we run and we go and we charge hard and we get there and I'm checking the GPS and it says I am nowhere where I'm supposed to be. And that's what happened when pastors like Vollen told me, you're teaching the prevailing prayer class this week on abiding. I'm like, okay. And I'm reading it and man, the Lord's just messing me up. And then I read Bobby's post and I'm sobbing and I'm like, Lord, I've been going through the motions. Not in everything, but there's places in my heart that have become dull. There's places in my heart where I'm like, okay, we're going to pray. We're going to obey. I'm like, why is obedience so hard right here? And it's not like massive sin things. It's like simple obedience in a couple of places. I'm like, there's my flesh. Holy cow. No, holy God. Help, 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 help. What happened? What happened to me? How did I become dull and hard of hearing? How did I become comfortable? So when you're asking something of me, I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. Right, I'll do that. And the distraction and the busyness. Oh, busy, 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 busy. I'm so busy. Not helpful. It's not helpful. So I'm going to read this prognosis again. Whenever we set out to prove something, we have formed an opinion, and in that opinion, someone other than myself is wrong. Immediately, I drop my eyes and attention from my beloved, and I'm set on a pilgrimage of righteousness that will take me away from the only one who is righteous. A journey that started in love for God quickly becomes a journey unto itself. Yeah. It's to prove that I'm right. And I'll begin to die because I'm now walking away from love. Right and love cannot coexist. Jesus demonstrated love by laying down all his rights. All of them. He gave up every right he had. He was in heaven with the Father. He had all his glory, his majesty. But you know, he couldn't become a high priest unless he became a man. He had to take on flesh. Read Hebrews. Jesus, high priest, was only chosen from among men. Why? So they could co-understand the suffering that they were seeking to appease through sacrifice. Jesus had all the rights, and he laid all of them down. So why would I have any? If I have to be right, then I'm not operating in love. If you don't believe me, read the Beatitudes. Whew. Those are hard. Okay. So the minute I leave off love, I begin to die. I'd like to read Luke chapter 11. Out of the Passion Translation. It says, no one would think of lighting a lamp and then hiding it in the basement where no one would benefit. A lamp belongs on a lampstand where all who enter may see its light. The eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter into your being. When your heart is open, the light floods in. But when your heart is hard and closed, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. Open your heart and consider my words. Watch out that you do not mistake your opinions for revelation light. If your spirit burns with light, fully illuminated with no trace of darkness, you will be a shining lamp reflecting rays of truth by the way you live. Watch out that you do not mistake your opinions for revelation light. I'm talking about me today. Y'all find yourself in it? Hallelujah. But I'm talking about me. I looked up opinion because we love to look up a good meaning here. The judgment which the mind forms of any proposition, statement, theory, or event. And listen to this. The truth or falsehood of which is supported by a degree of evidence that renders it probably, but it doesn't produce an absolute certainty. An opinion is, I got this much, and that's enough, and I'm going to run with that. But it's only in part. It's not the fullness to know that we're absolutely right, because it's a judgment that my mind forms, and it might be true and it might be false. Okay? And it says that it's formed, it says, from circumstances we form opinions regarding future events. So that's our self-preservation. Something happens. Ooh, didn't like that. I know what that was. I am now geared to look for that. I see it coming 20 yards off. I'm like, oh, heck no, not going that way. I have formed an opinion. Yeah. Right? We form our opinions that way. So I mentioned earlier, you know, it's important on Wednesdays that we pray, and we're praying for Israel right now because she is a picture of the bride of which we are. And as I've been reading the Bible, this is our third year going through it, I'm falling in love with the Old Testament again, because you know why? I'm all over it. Yeah. I'm in it over and over and over again, you know, and it's just very clear that I am Israel in so many ways. Yeah. You know, we love to read them and go, oh, you did it again. I can't believe you guys did it again. I'm like, yeah, that's probably me. Give me 5 minutes. And I will fall away again. My heart will wander again from the truth that needs. My ego will try to prop itself up as the most important part. Why? Why does any of this happen? Because we forgot we're loved. That is the only answer. When I forget I'm loved, I act like it. So I want to read Exodus 33, starting at verse 1 in the New King James, Barb. And this is post the calf incident, okay? So this is right after the whole calf thing went down. Hold on, she's loading the right Bible there. Ba-da-ba-ba. Okay. Yeah. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you've brought out to the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out all the Ites, the Ite, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst." Right? What? Wait a minute. This sounded really promising. Go, the land I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for you, your descendants. Go, go be there. I'm not going. Okay. What? No. And this is why. He said, lest I consume you on the way, for you're a stiff-necked people. He wasn't withholding the promise. He said, you can have the promise, but I'm not going because I will take you out. So stiff-necked, it means hard. It means difficult. It means cruel. It means obstinate. And obstinate, I love this. See, When I was going to fix the church, that was the problem on the outside of me. But obstinance, this is the problem on the inside of me. It says, pertinaciously adhering. I love that word. It means stubbornly adhering to an opinion. That's what obstinate means. Stiff neck means I am adhering to an opinion or a purpose. Remember what opinion is? Is a judgment I form that might be true and it might be false because I've only got partial information. So Jesus is saying, the Father is saying, I'm not going because you're so stubborn and set in your opinion. And you know what the worst part of their opinion was? They didn't trust him. They didn't trust that they were loved. And he was saying, that's where you're stiff-necked in how you see me. So I'm not going with you because it won't go well if I go with you right now. Okay? Why am I bothering with these terms? Opinion, obstinate. Because I'm discovering this is me. This is my revelation. This is my parable that I'm in. I am finding that this is my heart. Hard. I think I've got it going on, and we're worshiping, and we're doing this, and we're doing that. And he goes, hey, how about over here? I'm like, sure. That's my heart. That's my heart. It's hard. My desire to reconcile something that my spirit felt was wrong became an opinion which gave me a purpose. I wanted to prove something that began with love for God and a passion for truth and a desire for freedom in his body. There was nothing wrong in that. But I was attempting to bring the revelation of John 17 being one, and I forgot the most important part. So John 17, verses 25 and 26, this is the most important part. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Bless little Leo, he's having a morning. There's another one. Oh, God bless all our littles. But here it is. Here's the point, that the love with which you loved me, Jesus says, would be in them, and I'll be in them. That's the only way we're going to get it. The only way for Jesus to be in me is for his love to be in me. If his love is not in me, then he's not going to be in me. He's going to stand over here and go, have fun. You don't want me to show up because you're not walking in love. If his love is not in me, he is not in me. If I seek to fix a problem and I walk away from love, it's all about me. So when the thing I'm doing for him becomes more important than his gaze, idolatry is next. Idolatry is next. Because I'm going to begin to mistake the thing as the reason that he loves me. Because I'm his avenger. Because I'm his crusader. Because I'm doing this for him. That's why he loves me. And he's like, no, it isn't. I love you because I made you. And you said yes to my son, and now you get to come in to all the love I have for you because I love every single one of my children I've made. But if you are going to make it about what you do for me, then you're becoming stiff-necked because you're forgetting that I love you, and now you're judging me. You don't even think you're judging me. You think you're judging everybody else, but you're judging me because you're going to go fix a wrong rather than yielding and humbling yourself and praying and say, Father, would you fix this wrong? Or maybe it's not wrong. Fix me. Show me. Show me what the fullness of your picture is. Humbling ourselves and asking. I'm all for justice. I believe there are so many causes worth fighting. I believe in fighting against injustice and evil. But as 1 Corinthians tells me, without love, I'm just noise. And I'm nothing. I'm just noise if I don't have love. And not only that, without love, all my efforts aren't yielding eternal benefits. They're building into my agreement, which makes me feel good, which makes me think I'm doing God's will because I feel good and I got agreement. And he's like, I'm going to stand over here. Because you left off love. And without love, you are not in union with me. Period. It's funny the way God moves. Because this week, Pastor got an email from Amazon saying, hey, we have a new AI feature and we will do voiceovers for your books. And you don't have to record them yourself. They've got like 50 different voices, male, female, different accents. It's great. You can listen to all the different, what do I want this book to sound like? And you can click on it, and in a matter of 72 hours, Amazon will upload an Audible version of your book. So we talked about it, and I said, let's do Speckle, because it's the shortest book, and let's start there and see how that goes. And so they did it. So great. So I'm listening to it. And I'm listening to it, and I'm listening to Pastor's book, A Speckle from God. And it's this. I'm like, oh, your timing is impeccable, Father. We had no idea. I had this message a couple of weeks ago because I started blogging on Facebook, and I'm like, I don't need to tell anybody about this. They don't need to hear about this on Facebook. And I pulled it back and I sat with him in it. He said, no, you're going to teach it, which means you're going to get to live it. And so he brings up the book. And I'm listening to the book, which is a parable about somebody who gets an idea from God. And it's shiny. It's a shiny speckle. And they're like, oh my gosh, I got a speckle. And then they meet somebody else who has their speckle. And they're like, yes, our speckles are great. We love our speckles. We're going to do this for God. And they keep going. And then they start arguing. And then it's like, well, my speckle needs to be more important than your speckle. And my speckle needs to be more important. And then they begin dividing. And now they're divided. And now, well, you know, they're the reason my speckle isn't happening. But because I'm doing for God, right? I'm in agreement with God. I've just been ah-ing all week long. I keep running into myself. I'm like, ah, there I am again. Help, help, Jesus, help. It's my favorite prayer. Help, Jesus, help. You know, I set out to find union, to find wholeness, and I found me. Blah. I can't bring about the righteousness of God. I can't bring about wholeness. I can bring my opinion. I can bring bits and pieces, but they will be bits and pieces. It's like a child bringing you a broken cup and part of the pieces are over there and they're like, fix. Only God can make it whole because we each hold a piece, maybe two pieces, but not really more than that. We need one another as the body. To see God. I see God in each one of you. I receive the Lord when you guys open your mouths and I hear the speckles he's given you. And he has given them to you. But they will not sustain you. And they will not bring about the kingdom. Because you know what God's speckle plan is? That speckle is called a seed. How does a seed give life? It's got to drop into the ground and die. I have to drop into the ground and die. Because unless I die, you're going to get me, not him. And he's the only one who brings about salvation, redemption, revelation, resurrection. And that's what we all want. So I want to read our promise, and it's in Deuteronomy 30. And I just love God, you guys. Oh my gosh. He's so sweet. And amazing and awful and terrible and powerful and frightening. And when I say awful and terrible, I don't mean like yuck. I mean like awful. He's everything because he's holy. So Deuteronomy chapter 30, I want to read the whole thing. This is God to his children. This is God to us right now. It's now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. This is my prayer for the hostages that have come back, that they will feel gathered back to the Father. Keep going. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. Here we are in Gilgal, remember? We're in Gilgal here. We came, we set up the stones, we crossed the Jordan, we landed here. Gilgal was where they were circumcised again. Okay? The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Also, the Lord your God will put all of these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord to do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, for this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, well, who can ascend to heaven for us and bring this revelation down so we can hear it and we can do it? No. It's not beyond the sea that you should say, well, who will cross the sea and bring it to us so we can hear it and do it? The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. That's what I'm hoping on. He's going to bless the land we're going to. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them like personal crusades, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. We get to come back inside of love. I don't know where your love is. I don't know where you are feeling God with you or without you. There was a movie a long time ago, and there was a funny scene where he was telling the girl who was trying to escape, he's like, look, here's your chances. With me, without me. With me, without me. With me, without me. And I feel God saying that all the time. Here's your chances. With me, without me. Here's the opportunity to come alive, to come into fullness and fruition, no matter what the journey looks like. With me, without me. So if we're willing to let our hearts be known in the innermost parts, then we'll step inside of love. It's a little scary. When God gets that close, it's like, oh, you're really close. And, you know, we love to say, oh, I love you and I love to be with you. Yeah, when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But when my heart is hard or dull or it's over here and he's like, hey, can we have a conversation? I'm like, wow, I'm going to write that letter you told me to write the other day. Or who can I call and pray for right now? I can get so spiritual in disobedience. Yeah. Ah! Yeah. I can get so holy avoiding being known. So I want us to come back. We're going to sing. And this is a prayer. So y'all are very familiar with it, maybe. It's a psalm of David. And as I was working on this, this just started flowing through my spirit. And I'm like, okay. So the cool thing about my parable is I died. I came to the end of myself and I went, shoot, I missed it. Somehow I got dull over here. Somehow I got hard over here. And somehow what I thought would be an easy response wasn't an easy response anymore. If you find your heart is there, I invite you to sing the song. If you think your heart is perfect, praise God. I invite you to sing this song.
From renew a right spirit within me.
Renew a right spirit.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Standing in the midst of rather than your highway of holiness, oh God, and lead us back into the everlasting way of following you in all things, following you always. Let us hear your voice. Father, I pray for a miracle today, that you would pop ears open that have been closed. You would pop eyes open that have been blinded. Father, that you would burst hearts open with joy and life once again. In your promise, in your truth, in your love. Bring us back to your love, oh God. Forgive us. Forgive us where we thought the thing that we were holding was more important than your love. And bring us back to the everlasting truth of you, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen.